Almighty God, as we gather today to worship you on this, the first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare a place for you in our worship, may we also prepare a place for your Son, our Savior, in each heart this day, that we may know him to be the source of salvation, to be the source of our peace. Through his name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Good morning. A blessed Advent to you. This is our, we started this, of course, several years back, and this is kind of a tailor-made service of Advent lessons and carols, and you'll have an opportunity to hear several lessons, some wonderful anthems offered by our wonderful choir, and there are a few opportunities where you'll step in to sing, and at those, we're not going to announce each of those. If you just follow along your bulletin, you will see those, but I encourage you to, when it comes the opportunity to sing those wonderful hymns, that you stand and sing, because if you're not singing, I'm going to come down and pull you out. You'll get a lot more out of this service if you really do sing. There are these wonderful lessons that kind of create for us the season that we're now in as we've stepped into Advent. But I want to hone in on the fifth lesson where we see the announcement to Mary, that she has the opportunity now to be Jesus's mother, but also the mother of love divine, the Son of God. Because were it not for how Mary responded to that invitation, I'm not sure the rest of the story would have fallen into place. So if you would, for this homily, and then we have an opportunity to reflect on it through the remainder of the service, I'd like you to travel with me to two places. The first, let's go to Nazareth. And then let's take what we find there and go into each of our hearts. First to Nazareth in Galilee. And during Mary and Joseph's day, it was not usually mutual attraction that created most of the marriages, but the arranged coupling of young future husbands and wives by their parents. The minimum age for a girl was 12. For a boy, at least 13. Reminds me about my days of growing up in Alabama. That happened a lot back then. Parts of Texas as well. So just but now take that historical reality and put it on young Mary. When the angel appears to her, she tells her she's found favor with God. She's probably still a girl. She's probably only recently heard her first lecture on the birds and the bees. If she were in our day, she would have easily been wearing, you know, a soccer uniform or going to sleepover parties or maybe hanging out at the mall. She was a teenager, for God's sake, and I mean that literally. But just a teenager. This is whom God chooses to begin the story of the rescue of humanity from sin and from death. If she were around today, she'd be playing games on her iPhone. She'd be FaceTiming with friends. You would think that someone with at least a resume would have been called. Surely if you or I had made the choice, we might have selected someone who was already married from a good family with a well-known name who had proven herself worthy by living through some adult trials. But Mary did not possess any of these things. So this angel comes to her and he brings this news. He says, you've been favored by God, but there's a lot of unsaid things. You've been favored by God, and even though you aren't married yet, you're hardly old enough to conceive a child. People are going to talk. Joseph may leave you. Your parents are going to be furious. You may be scandalized as a harlot. You're now invited to be pregnant with the divine flesh of God. The opportunity for scandal was tremendous. That's why we see Joseph in Matthew's gospel telling of these first few days that the news was so horrendous that he actually thought about calling the marriage off and putting Mary out, putting her aside. Thank God the angel that had brought the surprising news to Mary also brings news to Joseph and says, no, Joseph, here's how it's going to work. That baby in her is the direct offspring of God, and you're going to stick around, and you're going to name him Jesus and watch as he begins to work out the salvation of the world. And so it goes. Now, what can we take from this story as it's played out in Nazareth? Let's consider a few things, but we really need to focus in on Mary because it really begins with her response to the angel's announcement, the invitation, if you will, to bear God's son. Now, at first glance, it would appear that Mary has at least four choices at this invitation. She could have said, I cannot accept this invitation. She might have said, I will not accept this invitation. She might have said, I will, but with a few provisos, or simply, she could have said, I accept. I can't, I won't, or I will with some selected fringe benefits, or just, I will. Now, under I can't, you know, most would probably agree with Mary's reasons. I can't because I'm pledged to be married and he's going to think I've been sleeping around. Because my parents and community will disown me. Because I don't want that responsibility. But of course, if the king of the universe comes and says he can do anything through you, if he says, with God, all things are possible, then I can't really means I won't. And so I can't is usually an excuse for I won't, which was Mary's second option. She could have just flatly denied the opportunity to be, in her words, the Lord's servant. And that would have been far more honest than saying, I can't. You know, thirdly, she could have said, I will, but a few conditions. For instance, she might have said, I'll do this if you'll make sure my family and I are provided for all the days of my life. Or that this child whom you conceive in me will never face any harm. Or that others won't mock me. In fact, they'll revere me. But Mary doesn't do any of these things. She could have said, I can't, which kindly would have been untrue. Or I won't, which would have been disobedience. Or I will but, which would have been playing God. But instead, she chose to say yes. And that yes made all the difference for her and for you and for me. And this is Mary's real story to us. And she was much like you or me, just a regular young girl. She was facing problems and issues and day-to-day life much like we do. And it was this person in whom God chose to work out the salvation of the world. And she comes to us not in a chapel set aside, not with candles at her feet, not in a vision of white, not as a mother who was not at times probably very frustrated by her son, or as someone free of sin, or as someone free from humanly pleasures. We know her as the Virgin Mary. But we also know that later in life, she and Joseph built their family with more siblings for Jesus. If you and I take Mary and we place her on a pedestal of our own making, not hers, then we begin to miss the whole point of God reaching out to us through Mary's womb, which was not just the birth canal for our Lord of heaven and earth. It's also the passageway to understanding Emmanuel, God with us. You know, you and I are called to be like Mary. No can'ts or wants or conditions. For all those negate the incredible possibility of knowing God right in the middle of where we are in life, especially in those times of pain and weakness and inadequacy. But if we can follow Mary's lead and say yes, yes to whatever God invites us to do or be, he can take us and use us to do something good, to do something worthwhile, to do something meaningful, to do something very Mary-like. Theologians, as you would probably guess, have given a name to Mary. They call her the Theotokos, which means the God-bearer, and she was the God-bearer. But we should not forget her humanity. If we do, if we take away from the Mary-ness of the Madonna, and we in turn take away from the Jesus-ness of the Christ, if we cut out the inevitable humiliation Mary had to face, being pregnant and unmarried in a small town, then we deny the anguish that she surely underwent. If we presume that everyone else in Nazareth heard the same message Gabriel gave first to Mary and then to Joseph, and that made them all supportive of the two of them, think again. In fact, the angel of the Lord somehow forgot to leave Mary and Joseph with a copy of God's little instruction book for God's little son. If we remove the rigors of full-term pregnancy, insisting that Mary somehow didn't really have to endure morning sickness or varicose veins or weight gain or hormonal headaches, she just kind of sailed into the manger 9 months later. If we do that, then we miss the power of her witness. The incarnation becomes incantation, something magical or ethereal or netherworldly. But that's not true. That's not the way the story played itself out. So meet Mary. Meet her again as she was, as she really was. And now, knowing who she was, let's travel for a moment into our hearts. What might God be calling on you to do today, right now? Who might He be calling on you to be? You and I are called to be God bearers. God comes to us through His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in word, in sacrament, in prayer, in silence, through the power of His Spirit. And He calls us to live as His children. He calls us to witness to His love. And you and I, like Mary, we can have four choices. And let's be clear about what we're choosing. If we say, "I can't," we're not being truthful. Consider some of the things that God might invite us to do, and we respond, "Well, you know, I can't. I can't get along with my wife. I can't be there for my children when they need me. I can't give up the affair I'm having or the addiction I'm craving. I can't forgive or submit or go to church or pray or give." But aren't our can'ts really wants? Should we not say, if we are truthful, "I won't get along with my loved one. I won't be there for my children when they need me. I won't give up my rage or my anger or my grudges or my sin. I won't pray or go to church or give," etc. We could also say, "I will if, God, if you don't make me do certain things, if you don't make me give up my wealth or become a missionary to Africa, or if I don't have to take all of this too seriously, if it doesn't interfere too much with my social life or my commitments to other more recognized nonprofit organizations or groups. I will, but please let me out of all that prayer and study and worship and service to others' business." But of course, if we say that to God, then we're playing God. We're putting Him in our box. When we do this, we're trying to make God in our image, and we're refusing the opportunity to be made in His. So can't, won't, will, if, or but. They're all options to us, but they're all full of holes, really, if we think about it. But we have another choice. We can, as Mary did, say to God, to God's invitation, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And why wouldn't we do that? God calls on all humans to come to Him through the person named Jesus, who was the Christ, and invite Him into our hearts and lives, forsaking anything and everything for the glorious hope that we will be made into the children of God. Do any of us want to miss out on that? Some years ago, the author Anne Bird writes autobiographically about herself, and in one piece of her writing called The Whisper Test, she writes this. She says, "I knew when I was growing up that I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others, a little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, garbled speech. When schoolmates asked, 'What happened to your lip?' I'd tell them I'd fallen. I'd cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in the second grade whom we all adored, Mrs. Leonard. She was short and round and happy and a sparkling lady." Now, some of you my age and older will remember there was a time when we did a lot of our health care in schools. You remember we used to get our vision test? Remember that in school? We get hearing tests. We also got, which was amazing to me, we'd line up in gym and get typhoid vaccinations and measles vaccinations in the gym. But Ann Bird remembers the hearing test, the listening test. And so she goes on. She says, Every year, Ms. Leonard gave that test to everyone in the class, and everyone was taking their turn, and then it was my turn. And I knew from my past experience that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at her desk would whisper something, and we would have to repeat it back. So things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? And when it came my turn, I waited there for Ms. Leonard to whisper my words, and when she did, her words to me must have been put right into her mouth by God Himself. For from that time on, those seven words changed my life. Mrs. Leonard, in her whisper, said, I wish you were my little girl. And that, my brothers and sisters, is God's whisper to you this Advent. I wish you were mine. I wish you were my daughter. I wish you were my son. What are you waiting for? When you think about it, there's only one right answer. Not I can't, not I won't, not I will with all kinds of ifs and buts attached. God wants you. He loves you. He comes to you and invites you to open your heart to Him, to know that you're favored in His sight. Mary said yes to that favor of God, and because she did, we can say yes too. Yes to His love, yes to His mercy, yes to His grace, yes to His peace, yes to His salvation. As God came to Mary, He comes to you and invites you to open your heart and allow it to be the birthplace of the living Christ and yet one more place, one more stable, one more creche, the core of your being. So may each of you, as Mary and Joseph and millions upon millions have done since, may we answer as they have answered before us. Lord, I am your servant. What you're calling on me to be, what you're calling on me to do, may it be to me as you have said. May we say at God's invitation with all that we are, yes.